Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to take a classic breakbeat and turn it into something that feels properly chopped, dusty, and alive inside Ableton Live 12. Not just looped, arranged, played, revoiced like it came off a worn vinyl record and got recut by hand for a jungle or old school DNB track. The big idea here is simple. In jungle and old school DNB, the drums are not background. They are the personality of the track. If the break is too clean, too perfect, or too locked to the grid, you lose that wild chopped vinyl energy. So our goal is to build a break arrangement that has swing, attitude, grit, and movement across the song. We're working in the arrangement view, using stock Ableton tools only. That means slicing, drum rack, simpler, warping, groove, saturation, filtering, automation, and resampling. By the end, you should have an 8 to 16 bar break arrangement that can sit in an intro, power a drop, or carry a whole section of the track with that classic jungle tension. First up, choose the right break. You want something with natural character already baked in. Think Amen style breaks. Think style breaks, dusty funk loops, anything with a solid kick, a snare that has body, and a bit of ghost note chatter or room tone. That human detail matters. It's what gives the illusion that the groove was sampled from vinyl and performed, not just programmed. Drag the break into an audio track in Ableton Live 12 and set the warp mode carefully. If you're auditioning the full loop, Complex Pro can work well. If you want sharper transient behavior and more punchy slicing, try Beats mode. For this style, you usually want to protect the original feel, not force it into a perfectly sterile grid. A good starting tempo is around 170 to 174 BPM. That's right in the jungle and DNB sweet spot. Before you do any slicing, listen closely. Ask yourself, does the break have a strong kick, a snare with body, some ghost hits, and a little human unevenness? If yes, great. If it feels too polished, you'll need to work harder later to make it sound alive. If it already sounds dusty and lopsided in a good way, you're in business. Now let's slice it. Right-click the break and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. In the dialog, set it to Slice by Transient and send it to Drum Rack. If the break is very busy, you can slice by 1/16 notes, but transient slicing usually gives you a more natural chop feel. Once the slices are in Drum Rack, resist the urge to quantize everything perfectly. That's one of the fastest ways to kill jungle energy. The charm comes from tiny timing irregularities, so keep the MIDI placements loose. If you need to tighten things a bit, use gentle quantize strength, maybe 50 to 70%, not full lock. Leave some hits a touch early or late. A useful workflow here is to group the slices mentally. Kicks together, snares together, hats and ghosts together, and any special one-off slices like reverses or vinyl noise in their own space. That helps you think like an arranger instead of just triggering random pads. Now we build the core phrase. Start with a two-bar loop. Bar 1 should state the main rhythm. Bar 2 should answer it. Think call and response. That's a really important mindset in old-school DNB. The break should feel like a drummer replying to the rest of the track, not a loop stuck on repeat. Lay in the main kick and snare backbone first. Then add one or two ghost notes per bar. These tiny hits are what make the break breathe. A ghost hit before or after the snare can make the whole groove lean forward or pull back in a really musical way. Often, the smallest edits are the most powerful. A missing kick, a slightly earlier snare, or a tiny repeat at the end of a phrase can create more energy than a giant fill. If the groove feels stiff, use a little swing from Ableton's groove pool. Something in the MPC style swing range can help, but don't overdo it. You want it to feel human, not sloppy. This is also where the chopped vinyl mindset really matters. Instead of a loop that just restarts, think in phrases. Make bar 2 different from bar 1. Maybe remove a kick. Maybe add an extra hat. Maybe repeat a tiny snare fragment. Maybe throw in a short fill at the end. These little changes are what make the listener feel like the break is being reassembled by hand. Next, shape the slices themselves. Open the drum rack pads and look at the simpler settings on the slices you care most about. For your main kick and snare hits, use short release times so the slices don't smear into each other too much. A tiny fade, maybe 2 to 10 milliseconds, can help avoid clicks while keeping the edge. If you want the slices to feel a bit more old school and sampler-like, try classic mode on selected hits. You can also tune certain kicks or snares down slightly, maybe 1 to 3 semitones, to give them more weight and attitude. Just be subtle. The goal is flavor, not obvious pitch shift effects. For grit, add saturator with a modest drive setting. Turn on soft clip if needed. A little drive goes a long way here. You're not trying to wreck the break, just rough it up enough that it feels like it passed through hardware or a dusty sampler. If the low end gets too muddy, use EQ8 and gently clean up the sub area under about 30 to 40 HE. Old school D&B drums need punch, but they don't need uncontrolled rumble. Now let's give the drum some support without losing the break's identity. A lot of people make the mistake of layering too much and ending up with a generic drum loop. Don't do that. The break should stay the star. Any layer should reinforce, not replace. You can add a subtle kick transient, a snare body layer, or a filtered top loop. Keep it minimal. Then route the drums through a group bus and add light processing. Drum bus can add some useful drive and crunch, but be careful. You want weight, not smashed transients. Glue compressor can add cohesion, if you keep the attack fairly slow and the gain reduction gentle. Also think about the bass relationship now, because this matters in D&B. If your bass is big and sub-heavy, your break probably needs to stay a little leaner in the deepest frequencies. Let the sub own the low end. Let the break live more in the mids, the crack, the snap, the movement. That's where a lot of old school energy actually lives. Now comes the part that turns a loop into a track. Arrangement. Don't leave this as a static two bar idea. Build sections. Give the break a journey. Start with an intro that's filtered and stripped back. Maybe just a break fragment, some vinyl noise, or an atmospheric layer. Then bring in more of the snare and hat detail during the build. Once the drop lands, open up the full break with the bass line. After that, switch things up again. Remove a kick, add more ghost notes, drop in a fill, pull the drums back for a breakdown. Then hit the final drop with a dirtier, more aggressive version. A really useful rule here is to change something every 8 bars. It doesn't have to be huge. Sometimes the best edit is a tiny one. But if nothing changes for too long, the track starts to feel like a loop, not an arrangement. For example, you could do this. First 8 bars, filtered break tease. Next 8 bars, clearer break with bass hint. Next 8 bars, full drop with the main groove. Then a variation with more ghost chatter or a missing kick. Then a breakdown with snare echoes and reverse effects. Then a final drop with heavier saturation and a new turnaround. That kind of phrasing gives the listener a sense of motion and makes the drums feel alive over time. Automation is your secret weapon here. Use auto filter to open things up during a build. A snare throw into reverb can make a transition feel bigger without cluttering the whole mix. Echo can give a chopped percussion hit a sense of space and movement. Utility gain automation can help you make tiny lifts or dropouts that feel like DJ edits. One classic trick is to duplicate the last bar before a drop, resample it to audio, reverse one or two slices, and place that reversed audio into the lead-in. Then automate a low-pass filter so it opens naturally into the next section. That little move can make the whole arrangement feel like it was edited on a sampler or with hands-on hardware. And honestly, resampling is a huge part of getting the sound right. Sometimes the processed audio version feels better than the original MIDI, because all the saturation, timing, and processing gets baked in together. That creates a more believable, more finished break texture. Now let's talk about the relationship between drums and bass. In jungle and old school D&B, the drums and bass need to dance together. If the bass line is busy, simplify the break a little. If the bass line is sparse, you can let the break chatter more. That push and pull is what creates groove. Keep the bass mostly mono, especially if it's a sub or a deep reese. If needed, sidechain lightly from the kick or the drum group, but don't overdo it. You want the rhythm to breathe, not pump like modern house compression. The break should still feel energetic and natural. A good test is to mute the bass and listen to the drum phrasing. Then mute the drums and listen to the bass alone. When you bring them back together, there should still be space for the snare to speak clearly and for the groove to feel like a conversation, not a fight. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't over-quantize. That kills the swing. Don't shorten every slice until it sounds sterile. Leave a little tail where it helps the groove breathe. Don't overload the low end in both the break and the bass. Don't slam distortion onto the entire loop if it destroys snare body. And don't let the arrangement sit unchanged for too long. If the break starts sounding fake, ask yourself a simple question. Does it still feel like a DJ edit, or has it turned into a drum machine? That's a really good reality check. For darker or heavier D&B, there are some extra tricks worth trying. Parallel saturation can add grit without crushing the main break. A very short reverb on just the snare chop can create size without washing out the mix. You can even make a subtle shadow layer by pitching a duplicate break slightly down and using it very sparingly on select hits. Tiny detunes on a few chops can make the whole thing feel worn and unstable in a good way. You can also re-chop printed audio after processing. that often gives you accidents and textures that are hard to fake with MIDI. And in jungle, those accidents can become the most exciting part of the groove. Before we wrap, here's a strong way to practice this. Build a 16-bar drum arrangement using one main break and no more than two support layers. Make three versions of the groove, one cleanest version, one dirtier version, and one stripped-back variation for a breakdown or turnaround. Make sure something changes every four bars. Add one reversed slice moment and one resampled transition. Then bounce the drums to audio and compare it to the MIDI version. Ask yourself which one feels more vinyl, more human, more alive. If the answer is yes, you're doing it right.